Let's read together Genesis 1, verses 3 through 23. In these verses, we read about God's work on the first 5 days of creation week. Genesis 1, beginning at verse 3. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures, and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Let's consider a few background notes concerning the first 5 days of creation week. We've already seen that there are several interpretations concerning the first two verses of Genesis chapter 1. My own view is that Genesis 1:1 is either a summary verse of the whole creation account, and then verse 2 begins the details of creation week, or verse 1 itself is part of day 1 of creation week. Now, for a number of reasons, I tend to lean in the direction that verse 1 is part of day 1. So the first 5 verses of Genesis 1, then, in this view, are all part of God's activity on day 1 of creation week. Now, the light that's brought into being here on day 1 is obviously not sunlight, because sunlight comes on day 4 of creation week. You might say, "Wow, that's a problem." Why is it a problem? God could certainly have another source of light for the earth before day 4. Most likely, when God brought light into being on day 1, it included all electromagnetic radiation, not just the visible part of the spectrum. Infrared, ultraviolet, x-rays, etc., etc. On day 2, God created a firmament or expanse to divide the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. Notice this firmament or expanse of verses 6 and 7 cannot be the atmosphere of today, which contains the clouds and moisture, because we read here that this firmament or expanse, that's what the word means, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. The waters above the expanse may have been a pre-flood canopy of water vapor. And this then would have been one of the sources of the flood waters in Genesis chapter 7. The other source, of course, being the fountains of the great deep. On day three, God brought the dry land out of the waters below the firmament. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5 seems to indicate that God drew the solid earth right out of the waters. I'm reading 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. It's interesting that all of the elements needed to form the crustal rocks of this earth are in seawater. It's also interesting that granite, the foundational rock for the continents, is hard to explain apart from creation. For example, you can't make granite in the laboratory. You could even take a block of granite and bring it in the laboratory to the molten condition and then cool it down with any time temperature cooling scenario you want. You will not get granite. Now, to fully appreciate this, you'd have to know something about phase diagrams and the minerals quartz, feldspar, and mica, which make up granite. And a lot more I could say here because this was the area of my PhD graduate studies. The beautiful, well-formed, solid granite that we have all over the world is hard to explain apart from creation. On day three, God also brought forth plant life, verses 11 and 12. Notice that God created the various plants and trees fully functional. They already produce fruit and seed. On day four, God made the sun and moon and stars. But you say, what about the millions of light years it takes for the light of distant stars to reach the earth? Answer, God made the stars with their light trails as well. All right? God created a fully functional universe. Just as God created a mature Adam and Eve with experienced and learned behavior already built into their minds, so God formed the stars with different apparent ages with mature light trails. There's a lot more I could say on that too, but we need to move to our doctrinal or teaching points for this section. So, doctrinal or teaching point number one. The days of creation week had evenings and mornings. The days of creation week had evenings and mornings. Verse 5. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 8, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 13, so the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse 19, so the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Verse 23, so the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Verse 31, so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, why is this an important point? It emphasizes the fact that the days are normal, literal days of 24 hours earth time. Anywhere in the Old Testament where you have evening or morning connected with this Hebrew word for day, it has to do with a literal 24-hour day. Now, if God wanted to convey to us that he used six geologic ages to form the universe, he could have done it easily with the Hebrew language, but he didn't. And anyone who brings in 2 Peter 3:8 here is guilty of bad hermeneutics. 2 Peter 3:8, with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Peter did not give this verse as an equation. He did not mean that anywhere you read the word day in the Bible, you can substitute 1,000 years. No way. In the context, Peter's point is that God is outside of time and not bound by time. Now, just suppose God did create this world in six literal days, and God wanted to convey this truth to us. How could he do it? He could do it in no better and clearer way than he's done it right here in the creation account. So the days of creation week had evenings and mornings. Doctrinal point number two. The days of creation week are not parallel to the theory of evolution. The days of creation week are not parallel to the theory of evolution. How many of you have heard of theistic evolution? Theistic evolution is the theory that God brought the different life forms into being, including man, by the process of evolution. Folks who believe this try to work the theory of evolution into the creation account of Genesis 1 and 2. Well, this is hard to do because the days of creation week are not parallel to the theory of evolution. For example, the theory of evolution says that marine life came before plant life, but the Bible says that plant life on day 3 came before marine life on day 5. Another example. The theory of evolution says that birds evolved from land reptiles. But the Bible says birds on day 5 came before reptiles on day 6. And there are numerous other glaring inconsistencies between the theory of evolution and the creation account in the Bible. You can't have it both ways. The days of creation week are not parallel to the theory of evolution. What about practical application from this section of Genesis chapter 1? Remember that all of God's work is good. Remember that all of God's work is good. Notice how the goodness of God's creative work is emphasized in this creation account. Verse 4, and God saw the light that it was good. Verse 10, and God saw that it was good. Verse 12, and God saw that it was good. Verse 18, and God saw that it was good. Verse 21, and God saw that it was good. Verse 25, and God saw that it was good. Verse 31, then God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. God pronounces his work of creation as good. Did you know that God is at work in your life right now? And that work is a good work. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, then God is doing the good work of getting the message of salvation to you. Now it's your responsibility to come to Christ for salvation. If you're here this morning as a believer, God is doing a good work in your life right now. Philippians 1:6 says that God who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is the good work of sanctification, the process of becoming more godly. Not only that, but Romans 8:28 says that everything that is happening in your life right now, God is working together for good. Now notice, Romans 8:28 does not say that everything is good, but that God works everything together for good. Car accidents are not good. Cancer is not good. Cardiac arrest is not good. But God works all things together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. So whether it be discipline in God's school or some major disruption in your life, remember that all of God's work is good.